What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter. You know, amen. The early disciples, the early Christians, are we together? When they got born again, or when they received Jesus, if you read through their writings, never felt like they had a religion. They spoke as men who had something. They spoke as men who had received something. You know why? Because they truly received something. They didn't speak as people who changed their habits. They didn't speak as people who had gone through rehabilitation. People who have been rehabilitated. You didn't even hear them say, I used to be this. That's not the way they spoke. They didn't speak like, I used to be like this, but now I'm making progress. No. They spoke as people who were in a particular sphere, but they've left there. And they spoke as people who were totally new people. They spoke as men who received something. Some were not even educated. Peter was not educated. But he could boldly stand and make declaration to over thousands of people. This was the same Peter whom wanted to trust in his ability when Jesus spoke about his death, his burial and resurrection. And Jesus said, very soon, the Son of Man will be taken up. You know what Peter said? I'm here. Nobody can touch you. He trusted in his ability. Jesus said, can you go where I go? Peter said, where can you go that I cannot go? You know, he was older than Jesus. So he said to Jesus, where can you go that this son of the soil cannot go? He said, you know, I will follow you anywhere till death. Jesus said, don't worry, this night, to show you the emptiness of self, this night, you are going to even deny me 3 times. Peter said, you don't know Peter. That night, he denied Jesus thrice. In very humiliating fashions. The worst was before a small girl. They say, your accent betrays you. I think I have seen you with the man of Galilee. He said, me? Man of Galilee? Ah. That's what Jesus was telling him. Where I am going, the road where I'm going, you cannot go. It is not a price for ordinary men to pay. You see, sometimes when I read Paul's letter in Philippians chapter 2, when he was saying that I may know him. A few days ago, I was lying down and I was thinking about that scripture. Paul said that I may know him. Amen. Then he didn't stop at that. He said, and the power of his resurrection. Then he said, and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be made conformable. See, you can know him. You can know the power of resurrection. But listen, no mortal man was designed to know the fellowship of his suffering. You can't go through what Jesus went through. You can only wish. You can only identify with it. Some of you mean. But they knew that after Jesus resurrected, they received something. They knew that they were brand new men. They knew they had an experience. Listen, they might not have been able to explain everything, but they know something happened to them. They knew that they were not the people that used to walk with Jesus. That's why when they would grab them and they would put them into prisons, prisons were not threats. They knew they were superheroes. Didn't you see how they caught Peter and put him in prison? They were raising prayer. What happened? Supernaturally, the doors open. You don't keep spirits behind bars. They knew something happened to them. From that moment, Jesus was not just the miracle worker. They became miracle workers. Kai. It is such that even in Acts chapter 5, chapter 3, amen, Peter could look at a lame man and say, look unto me. He said, look at me, look at me. Glory to God. Such as I do what? He says, such as I have, I give to you. They came to a place where money is not the issue. There's something more than money. I don't. Sometimes we try to explain Peter's this thing. Peter did not have money. He didn't have money. So whether he had it at home or he didn't have, but there, he didn't have money. And he didn't hide it. He said, silver and gold, I do not have. But notice the way he said it. Such as I have. That means the same way you can have money and know you have money. It's the same way I have something and I know I have it. That is how they knew they were born again. Such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Peter had seen Jesus do that before. There was a man lying at the porch. Are you getting me? And Jesus asked the man, do you want to be made whole? The man said, anytime an angel comes to stir the water, there's no way to throw me inside. Jesus said, that's not the question. Do you want to be made whole? The man said, yes. So get your bed up and walk. After Peter became born again, he knew that the same thing that Jesus had, he had it. They were not going around and saying, you, have you changed your dressing? Have you? That was not their issue. We have something. Manifest it. Peter walked in the consciousness of this truth. Are you listening to me? The Bible says when Peter is walking, they will put men on the street so that his shadow will fall upon them. You know what some of you do when you read such scriptures? You're like, wow. What a man. Peter. Listen to me. This is the same Peter that denied Jesus. But when he received eternal life, he knew something changed about him. He came to a place where as he's walking, things are happening. It's not a show. It's an overflow of a life. He knew it was an overflow of a life. Can I ask a question? When you got born again, what did you receive? What did you receive? Did you receive a church? Or you received a religion? Or you received a new clique of friends? Say, guess what? Ever since I started going to that church, I like that church. I have new friends. And then my friends are the bomb. Listen. In fact, it's in church that I found the truest friends. We're not running a show here. It is a life. So 1 John chapter 5 verse 12. This is John writing in his old age. I love John. He wrote the Gospel of John according to St. John when he was a younger man. That's why if you read the book of John, the Gospel according to John, he's talking about the life of Jesus and the message of Jesus. He didn't have time to talk about who Jesus visited, where he went to. He was just talking about the message that Jesus brought and how this message produces miracles if one believes. That was his concern. That's why he started his gospel by saying, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. I want to tell you what this Word can do. That Word became flesh. It dwelt amongst us. And it's not story. We beheld the glory of God. At his old age, he wrote the other epistles. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Now he's talking of something he knows. You know why? Go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Some of you should be able to write epistles like that, where you can testify of things that you have seen. You know what he said? He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Meaning this thing is not story. This is not church. We've seen it. Then look at what he says in verse 2. He said, the life was manifested. Now, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you. You see, the way this translation puts it is that, you know, it makes it look as though we declare to you that eternal life. No. Thank you, sir. You got it. He said, we declare to you that eternal life. That eternal life, which used to be with the Father, was what? Was manifested to us. That means all the attributes we heard about God, we saw it in manifestation. It was manifested to us. Oh, glory to God. It was manifested to us. I love the way Paul puts it. Colossians 1, verse 27. I love the way Paul puts it. Let's read from verse 26, Colossians 1. He said, the mystery. Someone say mystery. You know, sometimes when you read the Bible, you keep hearing mystery, mystery, mystery. Don't look for something too difficult. Something is only a mystery when you don't know it. What you know is no longer a mystery. So if a man says his wife is a mystery, then there's trouble. Your wife is not supposed to be a mystery. Adam knew his wife. Say, is this your wife? Says, yes. Say, wow, well, she's a mystery. Listen to me. I don't want to have anything to do with her, because if the husband says the wife is a mystery, then to me, she's mysterious. It's a mystery when you cannot explain. It's a mystery when you don't know its mode of operation. But scripture says, in the Old Testament, they used to see the hand of God in operation. There were prophets that were anointed. Are you getting what I'm saying? When Moses opened that Red Sea, they're like, wow, this is a mystery. And it was transferred from people to people. Only select few operated in certain features of God. They were demonstrating God in different ways. Joshua did not even have the kind. God was not manifested through Joshua the way he was manifested through Moses. You know, Moses didn't used to talk too much. He was a man of few words and action. Perform a miracle. When they sinned in the camp, Moses just said, all right, let the ground open. The ground opened, he picked up the people. Joshua's dispensation was different. He said, stone all of them. Put all of them there and stone them. It didn't happen in Joshua's life like Moses. So in Joshua's life, you sin. He was anointed to speak to people, to stone you. But guess what? Joshua understood something that made the sun stand still. And if you study science, you will understand that what scripture records as the sun standing still is actually the earth not moving. Why? He had tapped into the mind of God, who upholds all things by the word of his power. You see, you must have an understanding to make some prayers. You know, some of you can't pray some things because your mind doesn't even believe such things happen. You don't even know that you can ask God for such things. So you don't even dare. If you hear somebody asking God, you say, keep quiet, ask God for other things. That means there's something that Joshua understood about God. For him to be able to say, God, let the sun stand still. For a war that he could easily have won the following day. Read your Bible. He wasn't losing. That war was not a need. That victory was a want. The enemies were already running. But he said, no, I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning and come back to this war. So let's get this thing done with today. So he said to God, let the sun stand still. How do you call your father-in-law's brother? It's your uncle-in-law or something. Yeah? It's your uncle-in-law. Okay, your wife's uncle. There's no word for it. Eh? Okay, just in-law. Okay. So my wife's uncle. My in-law. My uncle-in-law. Now, we were talking once. You know, that was the first time I was really having a conversation with him. And he turned, he said, look, Pastor Rome, he's also a minister of the gospel. He said, Pastor Rome, believe God for big things. He said, I don't ask God for small things. He said, because I've discovered that the things I call big things, they are even small things for men who were under the old covenant. He was telling me where his son's school. And say when he was taking them to the school, people were saying that he's going to hang himself. He says God that pays the bills. He said, God, that's the school I want my children to go to. And they're going to go. And he was paying millions. He said, Pastor, think about it. Moses divided the Red Sea. I don't need River Benue to divide. There's a bridge. I can pass over it. He said, Joshua, ask for the sun to stand still. I'm not fighting any war. I only say I want my children to go to this school. Why would that same God? Are you getting me? Not do it. He could ask for it because he had an understanding. It's not how much God could give. See, listen to me. In your Christian walk with God, it's not how much God can give. It's how much you can dare to believe and receive. If by one man's offense, death reign. The Bible says, how much more? Those of us who have received, not those of us who have been given. Grace is given to every man. But how much more? Those of us who have received the abundance of grace. He says, and the free gift of righteousness. Is the ones that receive grace that reign. Because you can't reign without grace. So it was a mystery. They saw the acts of God in the Old Testament. But it was what? A mystery. That's what Paul speaks of in Colossians 1:26. The mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. But now, in our own dispensation, but now has been. That means it's no longer a mystery. But now has been revealed to his saints. Verse 27. What is that mystery? To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this revealed mystery among the Gentiles. Which is what? This is the mystery. Which is Christ in you. See, not Christ with you. Not Christ for you. Which is Christ in you. The hope of a glorious life. Say, Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
He's not in you as something that Pastor Rome is trying to get you to believe. If you're born again, he's in you. He's in you. He's in me. I am more than flesh. I am more than a mind. I am a spirit. And Christ, God, through Christ, by the Holy Ghost, dwells in me. Recently, I was walking. I said, Kai, I cannot die. The spirit cannot die. No. The spirit I cannot die. Where is death? Do you know, I don't fear death. I don't fear death. It's in me. Yeah, there's nothing like, I saw one pimple, but the thing is growing more and more. So I said, check it. Is it growing? Is it growing? She said, why are you constantly checking? I hope it doesn't turn to something else. So I'm feeling one pain here. I said, okay. Let me see a doctor. Doctor, a scan. When the doctor scans, he says, no, it's not malignant. I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless God. Whew. It's okay. He said, you look happy today. He said, hi, if you know what God just did for me. He said, what did God do? I went for scan, and they checked, and the thing is not malignant. So I just came to return praise to God. Wait. What if he was malignant? Then what? No. What if? You know why? Something still tells you that you are an ordinary man. It's because you've not come to a consciousness that Christ is in you. It's because you've been told all your life that you live by blood. If you read your Bible, the word for natural life is the same word for animal life. They don't use Zoe for spiritual life, for higher life. 1 John 5:12. Let me show you. See. People will see supermen. Amen. That's the best way. When you are walking the road, they'll say, God has visited us. Amen. He who has the Son is going to have life. What did he say? He who has the Son has life. I told them in Boko, you can't hate beans and like money. You can't eat money and start saying, but nothing will make me taste beans. Nothing in this life will make me taste beans. If you eat money, you are eating beans. You can't say, I have Jesus, but this eternal life you are talking about. No. You don't have eternal life, you don't have Jesus. He says, he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Look at what he says next. These things I have written to you who believe, because that's the way you have the Son, by believing in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Underline the word know. He says that you may know that you have eternal life. Meaning you can have it without knowing. The reason I'm writing is so that you will know. We're going to come to that. Because knowledge is key. That you may know. You know, one of the biggest mistakes they did to us when we got saved, the moment we got saved. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Meaning spirit has given birth to us. The spirit of God has given birth to us. Yeah. If the son of a dog is a dog, the child of it's a puppy or whatever I call it. If a cat gives birth to a cat, a God will beget a God. It's very clear. We were never told we're God. We're only told that we are servants of God. Though they religiously told us that we are sons of God, but we didn't pause to think that if you are the son of God, what does that mean? John 1:12, to as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To become. He didn't say to progress into. This is not Buddhism. We are not trying to attain a stage of enlightenment. No, he says, As many as believed in his name, he gave them the power to become it. It's an instant thing. We were born into it. And guess why a lot of us struggled with sickness, even struggled with sin? You know why we struggled with sin? After we got born again, they started telling us the things that we should not do. They were giving us instructions for mortals. So, now that you are born again, don't bar punk. Now that you are born again, you can't eat cornflakes. I heard that from Reverend Opara. Now that you are born again, you can't spray perfume. They were just telling us things we couldn't do. That was our life. Some of us have been through places. We couldn't even wear good suits. If your suit is too new, you might not make heaven. Do you understand me? Oh, man of things. We cannot even shake sisters. Amen. We can shake a brother. We can shake a sister. Beware. Nobody ever told us from 1 John 3 that if a man is born again, the seed of God abides in him, he cannot sin. They were only telling us that our greatest problem is sin. That is why we started having an identity crisis. What they should have been teaching us is what we can do. Who we are. What we have received. No wonder Paul said in Ephesians 1, ever since I heard of your faith and your love for the brethren, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He said, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened that you may know. This guy, I want you to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, situations and people will tell you who you are not. That's why some of you think you are the sick. You think you are poor. You have an escape mentality. Some of you even think that the Christian life is a life of struggle. I heard a dear minister of the gospel say, Christianity is a life of one hurdle after the other. That if you have crossed one hurdle, get ready. Another one is going to come. Then you will cross. No, 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 no. Jesus did not say, I came to help you cross hurdles. He said, I came that you may have life and enjoy, have it more abundantly. One translation says, I came that you may have and enjoy life. You see, if you hear that Christianity is about hurdles, you will even be anticipating hurdles. School fee is not a hurdle. House rent is not a hurdle. Because some of you, that's how you approach life. Say, I have to marry, another hurdle. Amen. Say, wow. Phew. So you struggle. Say, well, I'm married. Thank you, Lord. Then you remember the words of that preacher that said, the next hurdle is coming. Your wife is pregnant. You say, Kai, another hurdle. Amen. Then you're able to pay the bills. Your wife puts to bed. You know, you struggle, you hustle, you release. Everything happened. Then you now remember the words of that man of God. Rest, because another hurdle is coming. The child has to go to school. So you say, see what the man of God said is true. It's not everybody that is living life like that. Yeah. I have written these things to you that you may know. Eternal life is not an addition, it's a replacement. When you got born again, God did not add eternal life to your natural life. When you got born again, Are you getting me? It was the termination of the natural life, and it was the birth of eternal life. I have eternal life. See, if you understand this truth, you will enjoy your Christian walk. It is not a struggle to please God. He's pleased with me. You know, the Bible says in Luke 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement with. But it didn't say, hear me, it didn't say you should live by blood. Okay. Amen. You know one truth that changed my life? I discovered that I told myself I will not give any undue attention to sickness. Your body doesn't know anything that is happening. Your body doesn't know you are in Abuja. You are the one who is in Abuja. Your body doesn't even know what it's wearing. That's why when you are naked, it doesn't complain. It doesn't know anything. The body doesn't know anything. There is a you in this body. So when the body is talking, you must learn to tell it to keep quiet. So I say, no, but when I enter into a new place, there's a way my body feels. You are the one generating the feeling that the body is acting out. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. When Jesus, how many of you believe Jesus died? Of course. How many of you believe that all his blood was presented to the Father as the sacrifice of atonement? Okay. Now, how many of you think that he took some to the Father and kept some in his body? If you believe all of it was presented before the Father, let me say, okay, God bless you. Amen. After he presented it to the Father, how many of you believe he came back to the disciples? And they saw him. So when they saw him, there was no blood in him. Was he alive? What was he living by? Was his body alive because of blood? All his blood was before the Father. But he was alive. He even had the audacity to tell Thomas to come and touch him. He even ate food with them into that body. So, he was not alive by blood. How many of you want to know how he was alive? Romans 8 verse 10. Let me show you this. They said every sickness can be seen in a man's blood. So it can affect the man if that's how the man lives. What if you don't live by it? Cannot affect you. See this Arab man standing here. This born again Arab man. I am an eternal spirit, and my life is upheld by an indestructible life. Nobody can kill me. Nothing can kill me. You know, I've been saying this for years. Not recently, he could tempt me. It's a temptation. But you see, if there's any temptation that comes to your body, that comes to your life and your body, you know what the Bible says? God only allows it because he knows your faith can carry it.
Yeah.
So what you need is to strengthen your faith in what you believe. He said, and if Christ is in you, hey, is he in you?
Yes, sir.
No, tap your neighbor and say, is he in you?
Yes.
What did your neighbor say? Kai, kai, kai. If Christ is in you, what did he say? He said the body is dead because of sin. He says, but the spirit, the you, that spirit there is not talking about the Holy Spirit. The spirit is alive because righteousness has been imputed to you. That's what it means. It means if they look into your spirit right now, you are exactly like God. Look at verse 11. He says, but if the spirit, he says, but if Christ, verse 11, give me verse 11, amen. Say, and if, but if the spirit of him who did what? Raise Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Kai. Wait, no, pause, don't rush. Does he dwell in you? Kai. Wait, wait, how many of you can say he dwells in me? He says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus, that means as Jesus' body was made sin, and he was lying there, a spirit entered into him. A spirit entered into him and gave that body life. And Jesus resurrected. That body that was beaten and dropped like aprons 3 days ago, the spirit entered into that body, rearranged that body, and left only 3 scars as proof for doubting Thomas. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is not story. You will never be sick another day in your life again. See, you have overcome sickness. You have overcome death. You have overcome you have overcome cancer. You have overcome typhoid. You have overcome HIV. Am I talking to somebody? The Bible says, and if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he, who is the he there now? The Holy Ghost. Or eternal life. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I have eternal life. I have written these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. There is a spirit dwelling in you. I know what is happening to us in the course of this teaching. The more we meditate upon these truths, the more we begin to see the manifestations of the God kind.
Amen.
That's why I say some of you, as you are hearing it, say, is it real? Keep hearing. Some of you, as you are hearing it, say, Kai, keep hearing.
Amen.
Some of you, the word of God will start producing harvest in you in 30-fold. That same word will produce 60-fold.
Amen.
Then you will come to a place where there will be a 100-fold return on that word.
Amen.
You know, when I sat recently, I was just driving and I was thinking about this eternal life. And I said, So the devil said, remember, you are short. You are short. So that's when God showed me the scripture. I know the doctor that removed the bullet from my leg doesn't believe in God. He said he doesn't believe in God. But when he saw the x-ray, he listened to me. In fact, he told me, he said, it was with my wife, my wife and I were in his office. We were talking to him, and he was telling us his grievance with God. I said, it's because you don't know him. You are angry at the wrong person. As if you are just angry at the wrong person. I'm not going to go into the total conversation, but when we were done, he was quiet. He said, plenty pastors come to this office and they leave here confused. He said, because a lot of people don't know what they are doing. He said, but you people, you know what you are doing. He now turned and said, Pastor Aaron, it's good to know what you are doing. I said, and I want you to know what I am doing. That man never allows anybody pray in his theater. When they put me on the table to remove, to do the extraction, he said, "Pastor, pray before we start." His whole staff were shocked. They were looking at him. He said, "Yes, he has to pray before we start." So when he looked at the x-ray, he said, "This is not luck." He said, "That's why I say, whatever, it's good to know what you are doing. Because whatever you are doing is protecting you. It's good to know it." Now, but if you see where the bullet passed, doctors were coming to look at me. He told me that in 3 months, you'll be okay. Gave me some very strong antibiotics. He was shocked 3 weeks, 4 days. The flesh sealed up. When he saw me walking into his office, he was quiet. He just said, "Pastor, I see you are doing fine." I said, "Yes." He said, "Wow." So we thank your God. Anywhere he sees me. He said, recently I had to go and check somebody there. Amen. He said they should tell me he's not around. Amen. So they were telling me that, like, anytime he sees you, conviction comes on him. There's just something about you. So I said, "God, but why did he pass?" He said, "It's because these truths have entered you." He said, "Stay with it." That was at the level. Eternal life is what did that. So God, Nazareme, eternal life can even stop the bullet from touching you. He said, "But what you need to do is come to a greater consciousness of it." Greater consciousness. One of the fathers in the faith in this country, and robbers came to his house. They pointed the gun and said, "If you don't bring money, we will shoot you." He got up. He said, "Okay, he's coming. Let him go and bring the money." They had some money in the house. As he walked into the room and came back, he did not see any armed robber. All of them ran. So he asked his wife and children, "That where are they?" They said, "No, they ran." He said, "Why?" He said, "No, you went through the wall." He said, "Me." He said, "Yeah, you went through the wall." You see, that's what I'm saying, these things. He said, you went through the wall. So the moment, he said, "Wait till we saw it." The only reason they didn't run, because it's their father. But they ran. He said, "You went through the wall." So he was telling them that no, that the moment he got up, he thought this door was here. So for him, yeah, he said, "You are not like you are saying, Lord, show them something." No. He said, as he got up, he said, "No, I passed here." They said, "No, you didn't pass here. This is where you passed." He even went to it and said, "Here." They said, "This is where you passed." He said, "No, this is where I passed." They said, "This is where you passed. We saw you." So if a man is going through the wall to bring money, are you getting me? Yeah. Glory! That's what I'm saying. Do you still want to collect that man's money? Aye. Something is happening to you. Are you listening to me? I write these things to you that you may know that you have eternal life. So I have it. Oh, come on. I didn't hear you say it. I have eternal life. John 3:16. These things have filled my mind. The other day I was praying. I said, "Devil, show now. I'm just asking you. Show. I want to even see you. This devil, show." When you begin to meditate on these truths, fear will leave your life. The Bible says Jesus was fully aware that the Father had put all things under his feet. I love the passion translation. He was fully aware. That's why he was not afraid to go through the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son. That whoever, who is whoever? Everybody is whoever. That whoever believes in him should not what?
Perish,
but have everlasting life. Listen now. That means the life he came to give prevents men from perishing. So if it's a perishable life, it can't stop you from perishing. That means this life is an imperishable life. Did he say, so that whoever believes in him is going to have? If you believe in him, you have everlasting life. Tell anybody you have everlasting life. No, tell your neighbor you have everlasting life.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.